Turn, if you will, in your Bible this morning to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. If you've been coming to the Bible study on Revelation, listening to Brother Jay talk about the coming of the Lord, well, I get excited about that. I love to think about the coming of the Lord. And you need to come to that Bible study, and that's where I come from this morning. Getting ready for His return. Now, here's some great truths about the Lord's return and the events that are associated with it. Starting with verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Therefore, what he's all talked about, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which the righteous dwell. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, today we thank You that we are to look for Your return. But Lord, how are we to live? And God, I pray today as born-again believers here, Lord, we will look for Your return. We will live according to Your will. And God will give You the praise and the glory. For it is in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Now, there's two classes of people that Peter's talking about or thinks about as he talks about the Lord's return. And I just imagine in a church this size, we'll have those kind of people, those two kinds of people in this church. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, in this passage we see there's a doubters or doubtful attitude of people all around. If you look in the church, if you look outside the church, you'll find that you have these kind of people. When you talk about the last day, when you talk about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there'll be scoffers walking all about in their own lust, saying, where is this promise of the coming of the Lord? People will say, you know, preacher, I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon, and I have, on the Lord's return. He hasn't come yet, but that doesn't mean He won't. Folks, I hear people all the time saying, well, you keep preaching that, and days go on just like before. That's what they were talking about in Peter's day. They were doubtful scoffers, doubtful people. They doubted the return of the Lord and Savior. There's probably those kind of people here this morning. You're living your life, and you are a scoffer. You hear about the revelation, and you hear about how the world's getting worse and worse. Well, you're saying, well, this has gone on ever since time. I really wonder if that's true. Will He come? Well, they were doing that in Peter's day. Now, the diligent attitude. There are some who believe, and it's reflected by the way they live their life, that the Lord Jesus Christ could return at any moment. Over in verse 11, let's look at it again. "Therefore, since all of these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be?" Well, I want you to know that he's talking to believers. He's talking to those that are saved. And he says, since there's scoffers in the world, and since all of these other things, what manner of person should we be as Christians in lieu of the Lord's return? You see, I believe he's talking about getting ready to leave this world. I love that old song. I'm getting ready to leave this world. That's all I know of it. But I like it. And if somebody can sing all of that, man, that is a great song. Now, let me say this. He's talking to saved people. But if you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not looking forward to his return. If you're lost this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first thing you need to do is to come to Christ. Amen. The Bible says you come like a little child. Oh, preacher, I hear it all the time. I don't really know that much of the Bible. All you have to know is that you're lost and you need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the Savior. He came and died for you. And a little child can put their faith in that. And if you will believe that Jesus Christ died for you, and you're willing to turn your life around, Jesus says, the only thing you need to do on earth is you must be born again. If you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. And that is simply by faith coming to Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, well, are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you done what you're supposed to do? If you're saved, there's a certain kind of person that we ought to be in our life. There's a certain kind of living. How do we get ready for God's return? That is a good question. Amen? How do I get ready for God's return? Well, the Bible tells us, look at verse 12. Looking for. The Lord's return. Are you looking for the Lord's return this morning? The Bible tells us that the early Christians, they were looking towards his return instead of the grave. In other words, when Jesus Christ went up into heaven, the men were standing there watching him go up. And as he went up, the Bible tells us, angels said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into heaven? This same Christ, as you've seen him go, will also come again." And they were looking more for the heavens to open up than the grave to open up. Someone said they were looking for the upper taker and not the undertaker. And folks, we're living in a day where, oh, we're living for the undertaker to come get us. Man, I'm praying that God will come, the upper taker will come and take me home to heaven. I want to be looking for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And folks, I believe if you really look for him and you expect him, looking for means to watch with expectation. Have you ever watched something with expectation? Watch for that moment, that particular moment. I know if you're getting excited about a newborn babe and you're looking for your mothers and the husbands, they're looking and expecting any moment, you know, that day arrives and they don't know exactly when, but boy, they're excited. The air is filled with expectancy that any moment that beautiful wife will become a loving mother. And they'll have that newborn baby there. Oh, that's expectation. I didn't mean to make her cry. She came. Praise God. Don't worry about that crying baby. I tell you, I could overshout that baby 3-1. But we ought to look forward to that expectation. Amen? I remember one time, Mother, I got in trouble. I did something that I shouldn't be. She said, "All right, when your daddy comes home," oh, man. That ruined my whole day. I could not get along that day because I knew that he would be coming home around 5 o'clock. And man, I was expecting the worst, because it always was. But you know what? If you and I today were looking for the heavens to open up any moment, I believe this church would be full of people. Amen? Amen. But the Bible says He will come again. I believe that. Jesus said in John 14, listen, I will come again and receive you up to myself, that where I'm at, you may be also. I will come. It doesn't say I may come. He said, I will come. After Christ went up, they said, listen, He's going to come back just as you saw Him go up. Now, there's five truths about the Lord that we need to get settled this morning. And I'm going to tell you all five truths. You might want to listen to these. One, we need to understand the virgin birth. You see, some people today say, well, we don't quite believe the virgin birth. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, then you don't have a Savior. Amen. Because without the virgin birth, He could not be our Savior, see? He's just like you and I. But I believe in the virgin birth. I've got that settled in my mind because the Bible says He was born of a virgin. Then there's a virtuous life. Jesus Christ wasn't a sinner like you and I. He lived a sinless life. He was the Son of God. He had no sin. You see, only someone spotless, only someone without sin could pay the price for your sin and my sin. There had to be a Savior. And He had to be sinless. And He had to be virgin born to be that Savior. Then the vicarious death. You see, Jesus, He died in our place. He's our substitute. You see, you and I could not die upon that cross to save the world. We're sinners. We needed that Savior. And Jesus Christ took our place. He wasn't forced upon that cross. He went to the cross. He didn't fight His way there. No, He gave His life freely. You see? He offered His life. He paid the price for our sin. And then, listen, there's that victorious return. Man, I believe that with all my heart. He was crucified. He died. And on the third day, just as He said, He overcame death and the grave. And He rose. And He said, listen, I will come. Folks, I believe that. I believe we're living in that kind of day. And we ought to be watching with expectation. Looking, the Bible says. Looking for. And then watch with expectation. Now that means not only do we believe He will come, but let me tell you something. He might come before we get out of here today. Did you know that? No generation has more reason to believe that Jesus Christ could come at any moment than the generation that you and I are living in. You see, are you saying He's going to come? I'm saying He could come at any moment. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound, the dead shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Behold, I show you a mystery. We talked about it Wednesday night. Not all shall sleep. That's what it means. I'm looking for. Most of you have read the books probably Left Behind by Dr. Tim LaHaye. You've read that series of Left Behind. He often said, no one knows the hour or the day, but our generation has more signs of His coming than any generation before. Folks, I agree. We are witnessing today, I believe, the setting of the stage of the Lord's return. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, we, in our little town, we had a play every year. The school would do a play, and the whole town would come up, And, you know, I look forward to that time of year because all the men in the community would come and they'd build the stage for the director. And we got to go and we'd watch them put up this stage. It was a beautiful stage. And then at the time, the whole town would come on that night and we'd watch the program put on by the school students. It was the building of the stage, watching it, anticipating. Folks, I believe the Bible tells us that the stage is being set for, listen to what the Bible says, as in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the last days. Folks, let me tell you. In the days of Noah, Noah got out there, God said, Noah, build an ark. And while he built that ark, he preached. He preached that the world's coming to an end. He preached there's going to be a flood. He preached God's judgment upon the world. And you know what they did? They laughed at old Noah. He's crazy. Him and his sons, they're all crazy. They calling for rain. They calling for God's judgment to fall. They didn't believe him. Why? Because they were indifferent. Their thoughts wasn't even on God. Does that sound like America today? You go out there and you tell somebody that God's coming back, the world's going to come into judgment, and they'll laugh at you. We don't care. We're going to have fun while we can. Indifferent. It's just like the days of Noah. Noah warned the people. He warned them about God's judgment. He warned them about their indifference. And they kept eating and the drinking and marrying and going their way with no thought of God. You know what? I've talked to several people about God coming back. And what do you think about God's return? I hadn't thought about it much. Why not? Well, I'm not sure he is coming back. Well, then you don't believe the Bible, do you? No, it's just another book, isn't it? No, it's God's holy word. I believe it. It's true. And God tells us there's going to be people like you that really don't care. And one day, the Bible says, when he comes, it's going to be too late for you. And you're going to be cast into a lake of fire. Well, I got a lot of friends to be down there, too. We'll air condition that place. Indifference. Scoffers. As in the days of Noah. And folks, let me tell you something. They ignored God's warnings. They ignored God's witness to them. And they ignored God. And when the Bible says God shut the door on the ark, it was shut. And a lot of people on that day were screaming and hollering, you know, Noah's not so ignorant now. But it did no good. It did no good because their hearts were hardened. And then in Luke 17 it says, as in the days of Lot. Now, Lot's days were filled with immorality, homosexuality. All people just living together, doing their own thing. Let's just do our own thing. As in the days of Lot, that's what it was. And that reminds me of America. Somebody was telling me, a judge ruled this week, that a transsexual kid could choose either restroom he wanted. Indifference. Immorality. Pleasure is their goal. And folks, that's America. That is America. We're talking about it in Revelation. That is America. The days of Noah and the days of Lot don't only sound a lot like our days. They are our days. And listen, in my humble opinion, one of the greatest signs of his coming is the Middle East And folks, the king of Iran says, we want to wipe out Israel. We're going to blot them off the face of the earth. They ever get that bomb, and they probably have, there's going to be a nuclear war sooner or later. And you know what? That Russian president, Vladimir Putin, he's beginning to side with the Muslims. It's no joke. It's found in the Bible. I could have told you he's going to side with them, because that's what God's word says. And you know what? We're sitting here at televisions, and we're sitting where we can communicate all around the world right now. Satellite live. I was listening to Revelation back in 1979, and back then we didn't have cell phones. We didn't, you know, we talk about, well, we're going to be able to talk to people and see each other on the line. And I thought, them people are stupid. I'm sorry, you're not supposed to say that word around kids. I do things like that every once in a while. Forget that, kids. Don't do that. Don't use that. But you know what? We're watching each other live. I've been talking to my son clear around the world. And I'm thinking, I was the one that was. You see? We're actually watching the stage being set. Just as a kid, we watched the stage being set for the play. We're watching the stage being set right now before our eyes, and anyone with any biblical discernment can see that God's word, the puzzle is all coming together. I'm watching for his return, and I'm getting ready to leave this world. Now, you can look for the Lord's return. And then, let's go on. It says, looking for and hastening. That means longing for the Lord's return. Ooh, are you longing for his return? Longing for his return, that word means passionate. Speedy. Paul says, I am ready for my departure. I'm ready, he said. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the righteous judge, God himself, will give me at that day, and not only to me, but to all those who love his appearing. That's found in 2 Timothy, if you want to know where that's at. Listen, Paul looked for the Lord's return, and he longed for the Lord's return. How do you look for it this morning? How do you long for it this morning? I tell you what, some of you right now are skeptics. You're sitting there and you're thinking, it ain't going to happen. That preacher's getting all worked up for nothing. You're over in chapter 3, verse 3. You just don't believe it until you see it. And folks, you're not going to be able to see it and do anything about it when it comes. Let me tell you, there's some of you here this morning, as I've been preaching, you're dreading the Lord's return. You know why? You haven't made things right with God at all in your life. If you're not saved, if you're one of those that have never received Jesus Christ, then you're not longing or looking for his return. You're sitting there and you're uncomfortable. And let me tell you something, you ought to be uncomfortable. Because in the twinkling of an eye, should happen just like that. And we'd be gone, and you would be for eternally lost. Because you've hardened your heart against God. Now, if you're lost, you need to be uncomfortable, and you need to do something about it today. You see? Do you love his appearing? As Christians, you ought to. Mama White, I love that little lady. She's my grandma. Let me tell you, she longed for his return. She would have loved to see Christ return in her day. But she lived like that every day. She loved people. It didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter how they took advantage of her. She said, I love them because they're God's children. He created them. And the only way they're going to know love is if I show love towards them. I thought, man, how do you show love if somebody takes you for a cleaning? She fed more tramps back then. We used to call them tramps that walk up and down the railroad track. And she fed more of the people that come by looking for a handout. Never asked nothing for it, just because she loved people. But while they ate, she would witness to them, I guarantee you. They had an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. She loved his appearing, and she longed for his appearing. Now, how should we long for his appearing? Well, in Revelation 22, verse 20, we should long for his appearing prayerfully. Prayerfully. Listen to what it says. He that testifieth of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, he said, come. Now, have you prayed that prayer? Even so, Lord Jesus, come. I can tell you right now, if you're not saved, I'm sure you haven't prayed that prayer. I'm telling you right now, if you're cold and indifferent in God's church, you haven't prayed that prayer. If you've been compromising with the devil, I'm sure you haven't prayed that prayer, because you're not looking for it and you're not longing for it. If you're right with God, if everything's right with God and you're walking in the will of God in your life, then yay, man. Let's pray and ask him to come quickly. You see? Not only looking and longing, but we're also in verse 14. It says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to the things, what it says we need to live in case or for his return. Be diligent, it says. 9/11 happened. Everybody got on their knees. The government got out on the steps, and they did the only thing they could do. They started singing, God Bless America. There's nothing wrong with that, but they needed to get on their knees before God and say, God, we give our hearts to you. You see, singing a song, anybody can do that. But when you really mean it, you get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. What have we done? And I believe God would have turned this nation around. We're still living under threats. And God's still trying to tell us, wake up, my people. Be diligent. If you saw Fox and Friends and a news alert was blasted on there, said Jesus coming at 2 p.m. or Jesus coming at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, he will be here. Let me tell you something. Everybody would be in our churches. They would be on their knees saying, Lord, I want to get right with you. Our churches and our pews would be packed. People would be weeping over their lostness and crying. Widespread fear would grip the world. And people would be streaming to the churches to find out how we can get saved. Let me tell you something. I don't know if he will come tomorrow at 2 or 6 or any of those other numbers, but if he should, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to look for his return. I'm longing for his return. And folks, I'm living for his return. That should move us to live as if he is coming before this sermon's over with. Everyone here should be giving your very best to serve God. You should give all your praise to God. You should sing for God. You should live for God. You see? That's the most important thing you can do, is witness for God. Read his word. Look what he says. In the light of his coming, Peter adds, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That could be him. Folks, are you spotless and blameless right now? Huh? What about this week? Have you lived a spotless life? Have you confessed it? Are you blameless? How would you act if he returned? What would you say? What would you do? I want to be found, like Peter says, without spot and blameless. Be diligent. Folks, I'm going to give you an invitation in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you, if you have never been saved, if you've never been born again, the time is to come. Some people say, how do we be saved? Well, you come. You come to me just as you are. You realize you're lost and you need a Savior. And I'm going to share that Jesus Christ is that Savior. You put your faith in Him. You turn from your sin. You start living for Him. You get into the Word of God. You get into a Bible class. You just ask me, said, preacher, where can I go to Bible study? I'll tell you where you can go to Bible study. We'll put you in a Bible study class. You can follow through with your baptism next week if you want to. We'll baptize you. That doesn't save you, but it identifies you with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can come to Him this morning and be saved, and you can leave here rejoicing over the glorious resurrection of the virgin birth of His coming again. You see, that's how you get saved, folks. You get saved all over. And folks, if you're here and you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're not diligent to follow His word, if you're not diligent in your living your life, hey, we're not going to be sinless. But every time we sin, we ought to feel so guilty about it. We'll get on our knees before God, and we'll say, God, forgive me. I want to get it right. And He'll pick you up, forgiven, get you back on the right track. If you're here today and you're looking for a church home, folks, some people say, I don't matter where I go to church. I don't need a church home. Yes, you do. I'll tell you why. A church home is where you can get support. A church home is where you can get encouragement for living. You see, we need support, don't we? I need people praying for me. I need friends that I can go to and say, listen, I have this problem. I want you to pray with me. Someone come by to me a while ago saying, listen, would you pray for this? I said, yes, I will. And I will pray for that. Tammy Spain's mother just had to rush to the hospital. They had to leave. We're going to pray for her. Brother Ben Riadica's in the hospital in Dallas. We're going to pray for him. We've got a website. We got a prayer deal. All you have to do is go to it. If somebody on the needs prayer, it'll get spread all over his church. Man. Ms. Dorothy George had to be taken to Brother Francis with heart trouble. 90-something years old and one of the most faithful ladies we've got in our church. We're going to pray for her. That's Joanne Lingle's mother. Folks, that's why you need a church family. You need encouragement. Man, sometimes we just get down, don't we? And we need people that we can put our arms around and say, listen, I need you to pray for me. And I know it won't go any further than just our church, our friends praying. We're not here to judge people. We're here to pray for them. Lift them up that God may work in their life. Let us close with a word of prayer. And then we're going to have an invitation. That's the time for you to come. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these three that I've mentioned, Dorothy, Ben, Miss Spain. God, they're all in trouble right at this moment, probably. But Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient to meet all their needs. And God, we want your perfect will to be done in their life, that they might give you praise, that they might give you glory. We lift them up to you and the families up to you. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are in our church service this morning, that they've heard the word. And Lord, some of them may be skeptics, but let them put that aside and trust you this morning. Some of them are looking for a church home. Let them come this morning. God, whatever will be done in their life, we trust you to move through the power of the Holy Spirit to convict them. And we give you the glory and praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.